Right.
No, we're doing fine. The other major film, of course, about the war is The Deer Hunter, and why don't you give me as much as you got on that?
Well, I think I saw that about four times. I went up first day it came out, I went and saw it, then I saw it again, and I saw it again and again.
Okay, why did you go see it?
Well, mostly I thought it was about. It's the best movie I've seen on Vietnam. Like, I think I saw The Green Berets, which was. I liked that, but it was pretty much about propaganda. Like, it was just the opposite of coming home, and that. I didn't really like it that much, but I think The Deer Hunter was pretty. Went both ways. It told the story. And, like, that recon marine said, he thought it was a great movie. He said there were some parts he didn't like, but he thought basically it was pretty good.
Okay, what specifically did you like about it?
I don't know. I thought the atmosphere, though, I think mostly. Like, it showed the guys before the war. They're pretty, you know. The basic kind of guys who become the privates in the infantry, you know, people working in factories, drinking beer, and that kind of thing, which is pretty much what they did. And then I think I liked it a lot that they showed the VC for being pretty cruel for what they were, pretty cruel. And I'm glad they showed that, because I don't think I've ever seen a movie where they actually showed the VC like that, except the Green Berets, which was that was expected. And so I like that aspect, and I like the aspect that we won, you know, they broke out of the prison camp and killed the VC, and I like that, you know, it was a change. You usually see the Americans lose, so I like that part of it. And I think it was pretty emotional, like that Nick guy shot himself in the end, and so I don't know, I didn't really like that part. I don't think an American guy would have stayed there doped out of his mind just playing Russian roulette. I mean, that was kind of inaccurate, but it was part of the story, and I liked it.
Is there anything, let's say, in The Deer Hunter, for example, that was left out? That, you know, you've done research into the war, so you're someone who has consulted primary materials, and you know what maybe ought to be said, what has been said, and so on. What did The Deer Hunter leave out, even though, you know, that's the best one? What did it leave out?
What did it leave out? I don't know. Really.
If anything, I mean, maybe it was perfect.
I think it was pretty accurate. I mean, I think it showed the guys being brave. I think I kind of disliked, though, that one of the guys had those emotions. That I think his name was Mike. He had those emotional problems in the end. I guess they put that in there to just kind of give it a kind of show something for everybody. They showed, I think it was Mike the hero and Steve the guy who cracked up, and then Nick the guy who shot himself. So I guess they try to show everybody. But I wish it had stuck more to people like Mike, because I think he was basically more of what they had in Vietnam.
What do you mean, more like the people?
I think, well, he was the guy who's held together. The other two guys kind of, like, I guess, fell apart. I mean, you could actually expect it from this situation, but the Mike guy, he stuck together and held them together. I think most guys in Vietnam would have reacted that way. But I thought it was a good movie, that one. I thought it was very good.
How about the patriotic aspect of that?
Oh, yeah, I liked in the end when they sang God Bless America.
Okay, well, why don't you describe that? Why did you like that? Why was... Some people have said that it's a satire, that it's not serious.
I don't think it's sad. I think it's very serious.
What is the point?
Well, I think...
Why don't you start off your response by saying, you know, the last scene in the film where they sing God Bless America.
Well, the last scene in the film where they sing God Bless America, I think it shows that most veterans are not ashamed of what they did. They're proud of this country, even though politically it got messed up. They're proud of what they did, and I don't think they have any regrets. Most people, that is. Most veterans. And I think I'm glad the people in the film put it in there, because most films are based on, you know, the bitterness of the veteran and so on, and this one showed that they're not all bitter. Most of them are pretty proud.
Did you think it was appropriate that John Wayne introduced or presented the award to Mr. Cimino?
Yeah, it's pretty appropriate, I think.
Why?
Well, I think John Wayne, like I said, is pretty. He supported our people in Vietnam. It would have been kind of awkward if he had to give the award to Jane Fonda. I think that would have been pretty weird. But I'm glad that the Deer Hunter won. I think it was appropriate. Of course, they didn't know that. I don't think he wouldn't know it at the time, though, because he could have just gone to Coming Home, too. And that would have been really awkward, I think.
I don't really know if they knew in advance or not. I suspect they must have.
I mean, I don't think John Wayne would have really wanted to.
Well, they wouldn't have put him in that situation since they knew he was sick and all that.
Yeah, I was. You asked me about that. God Bless America. I saw that film, well, just once, and I came away from that film with the idea that they had the song in there because it was a way in which they all came through this great crisis and still saw faith in the nation. That's what they were saying to the public. I thought that we've come to a very bad time, and many serious things have happened, lives been disrupted, death and what have you, but yet this still is the greatest country, and it's worth taking another step forward to maintain it.
No, I agree with that.
Hey, I saw that song as a matter of faith.
Yeah. I don't think it's a satire at all, like some people might have said. They wouldn't have put that in the movie like that. They wouldn't have satirized it. Or, I don't know, satirized it.
Well, so could you summarize again then? What was the function of that?
Well, I think like you just said, it's keep faith in the country. I think that's about faith. There's nothing satire about it at all. I remember one critic, movie reviewer, he said that he didn't like it. He liked it, but he didn't like the part about how they showed the Americans as winning and things like that. And I thought that was wrong because Americans did win.
What did the reviewer say?
He said that they made it seem like war is so glorious and we won every time and stuff like that. And I don't think the war was like that. I don't think the movie was like that at all. I think it showed it pretty accurately. I think the guy was Gene Siskel. I'm not sure. I got it at home. I can just give it to you.
Well, could we just go over that one more time? What did the critic say, and why was it wrong?
What he said was that he thought the party didn't. He liked the movie, but he didn't like that the Americans won, and that the Viet Cong were evil. He thought that was too. I think he said something like Pentagon-ish. He said it was too black and white. And I thought, well, it was a pretty black and white situation like that.
In what way?
Oh, I don't know how you can say. I just think the Americans would have won in that situation, probably. I don't think that.
You mean within the context of the story, or in terms of
the
overall
thing,
view of the war?
Overall thing. I don't think it's. He just said he didn't like it. I think he said the Americans won because the Viet Cong were evil. He said it that way. He said that if the Viet Cong were nice guys, the Americans would have lost. I think that's what he meant. And, yeah, this thing is wrong.
Okay. Well, listen, as far as I know, I've run out of questions for you. And, there's just another thing I ask everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And this could, in your case, apply to maybe even the trip to the research. What's the funniest thing you heard about either happening at Quezon or happened to you while you've been researching this? Funniest thing. Did they say you either heard about from the veterans or, you know, they said, do you want to hear something really funny that happened to me?
And I don't hear anything really funny. Not where you'd break out laughing, but I remember one guy, he got a big chuckle out. The recon marine, he had this picture of this guy giving the peace sign with an egg in his hand like that. And he thought it was real funny because it was a captured egg from a captured goose. And he thought that was hilarious. But I don't know if that's. He thought that was pretty funny. And then he had one thing. They made the recon guy to still. They made this gun. They got an M16. They made a clip about this long on it. And they made a barrel about this long on it. And they were farting around with it. He said the commander, he drove by, and he said the guy just shit in his pants. He couldn't believe it. He said, is that real? He said, that was hilarious. And, that's about all that's really fun. I don't know if it's really funny.
Well, has anything happened to you in this project? I mean, you've had to travel around.
Oh, no.
You come out to the airport to meet some strangers and all this. There's got to be some, any humorous or...
No, I think it's mostly just exciting.
Well, why, that's, okay, then, why is this exciting to you?
Well, I think it's an experience to go out and meet people like you and the veterans and so on. And I think I've always read about these people, and it's different to read about them than to actually meet them and talk to them. I mean, to say, you know, like I saw that guy in the CBS News clip. I said, there's a guy in CBS, and there he is sitting right in this office talking to me. I thought that's pretty unbelievable.
Okay, now, that's important to me because, of course, our documentary is going to be called Television's Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
And there is a difference between real experience and then a media image,
right,
and a little screen of the experience. And maybe, well, for you, You saw the... Why don't you describe this? You saw the man. Tell me how you got the tape.
Okay.
You saw the man, and then what was the difference between interviewing him directly and watching him on television?
Well, let me see. I got the tape. I wrote to this Marine Corps who was, I told you, he wrote for Leatherneck Magazine, and he had a videotape of the CBS News clip, and he mailed it to me. And I saw it down at the college where my dad worked at, and I saw the guy on the videotape, and I thought it was pretty... It seemed like, you know, Iwo Jima in Vietnam, you know, raising the flag and so on. It seemed like the... this kind of stuff the Marine Corps is built on. So I thought it was pretty interesting. So I got the guy's address and wrote him a letter. Then he called me up on the phone and invited me down. And the thing was talking to him was just... Right when I talked to him, I really didn't think about when I came back home, I thought, you know, that was really something. This guy's on TV, you know, what you could call a real hero, I guess you could say. And I'm sitting there talking to the guy for 4 hours, and the guy's... I mean... When you see him on TV, you think of some, you know, big, above-it-all guy, and they're just really basically people who are just did something that nobody else did right then. They're pretty personable, I guess you could say.
Well, was the TV... And this is such a hard thing to pin down, I know, but, you know, we see so many heroes on TV, Gilligan...
Yeah.
Gilligan's Island.
Worthless.
And other sorts of... I mean, was there something about...
Well...
About seeing a hero, a real hero on TV,
well,
that made it especially interesting?
Well, like I said, like, you know, you said Gilligan's Island. That is all... They're not... It's just actors. They're not doing anything real. This guy is... It's a real-life situation. And when I talked to him, he had no idea what... He didn't know if he was going to get shot down the next second when he was doing it. Him and the two other Marines were with him. He said he was proud, happy, and scared. And I said, that's different from being Gilligan's Island.
Well, what is the difference?
Well, like I said, it's... Well, let me think how to put it. But on, like you said, Gilligan's Island, that is, like I said, it's not real. Those people, they're getting paid for going around doing stuff that I think is pretty worthless. And this guy there is, I mean... When you think about it, he's, except for the pride and the esprit de corps, he gets practically nothing out of being a Marine. I mean, it's not that big a, it's not like you'd be in a luxury hotel, it's this pretty miserable life. It's not miserable, but I mean, except for the pride and stuff like that. And this guy's going out and actually sacrificing, I guess, you could say.
Well, let me go at it another way. Is it possible, that... The Marine was doing something real and important.
Yeah, that's it.
And as contrasted with so many other things that you see.
Well, after you said the Marine was something, it was real and was important. And the rest of this stuff is just, I think, the fiction stuff on TV is just trying to make money for the people who put it out. And this guy was doing something that was, like you said, real and important.
Okay, but when you went to see him, what and you came back and you thought about it, what was the difference between seeing the man put that flag up or take it down versus you're actually meeting him in the flesh?
Well, when you see him on TV, like I said, you know, the guy's on TV, that in this right way, I think that makes you kind of important being on TV. And then when you see him in real life, he's really just a ordinary guy, but he did something, like I said, that nobody else did right at the time.
Well, you say it makes you important being on TV.
Well, I don't mean important. It makes you sort of like, you know, how do I say it? If you're doing something that's newsworthy to be on TV, it seems like you did something that's important, I guess you could say. It doesn't make you important, but, I mean, doing something that's on TV is kind of special, I guess you could say.
Okay, well, what did your estimate of the man when you met him in real life, was it lowered, or did you think more of him?
Well, I thought more of him, yeah. When I met him, he seemed like just like the classic stereotype of a Marine Corps sergeant. When I met him, he had tattoos all over him and so on, and talked pretty tough and stuff, but he was really a nice guy when you got down to really knowing him.
Did I forget to ask anything? Keith, is there anything that I should have asked? Or, you know, we've covered a lot of subjects, and sometimes things
Why you write this as a book?
Yeah, why
not?
Oh,
okay. Just as as a report for class.
Well, first of all, in class, the way I write is, if you're not interested, it's boring as anything. Because I go into, you know, the details, like, you know, this guy has something written on his helmet, and this guy had a bayonet on his M16, and so on. And if you're not interested, you probably wouldn't care about it. And also, I love to write, so that's why I'm making a book. The thing I'm doing right now, though, is I'm putting together an article about Hotel Company, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. That was the outfit the Sergeant Major was in. And I sent a copy of it off. It's about their experiences in Way City, the month fight. And I sent it off to that place you're going to in Washington, D.C., the Historical Marine Department. And I asked them if it was good enough for publication, like the Marine Corps Gazette or anything like that, and they said it was. So right now, that's what I'm hoping for. The book thing, I'm hoping to write a book, but right now I don't think it'll ever come out, because I'm hoping it will, but right at this stage I got so much stuff piled around, it's going to take years to write it all down. So I'm just trying to write some articles now if I could. But basically writing, I just like to write.
Why? I mean, why write an article rather than, I'm going to keep these things and share them with your friends?
Okay, I'm a ham. See, I want my name in print. And that's the main reason I want to see my name. And I think there's two reasons. First of all, I think, like I said, these guys should be given credit. That's the main reason. But there's also a smaller reason. I want to see my little picture, like in a little magazine. You know, Keith Nolan wrote this article. That'd be kind of important to me, I think. I'm not doing it. I'm not interested just because I want to have a little ego problem or anything like that. I think these guys deserve credit, but that's part of it. Like I said, a hand.
Something wrong with this?
Does this, doing this research take up all your time, and do you do other things with your time?
I usually just sit around most of the time, but I play a little tennis sometimes, but mostly the research, I like doing it. That's what I do a lot.
You read a lot.
Yeah, I like writing letters to people and so on.
We even bought him his own TIE fighter for his birthday, Christmas. He lives at that TIE fighter.
He writes a very good
absolutely
letter.
Absolutely lives at that TIE fighter.
As I told my, in fact, I took your letter to my department head, the English department head, told him this was the most succinct, intelligent letter I had ever received from anyone, which is true. I'm serious. And that's why one of the things that depressed me and made me want to stop and visit with you and so on. It was a very well written letter, and it expressed the information you wanted to convey, but in a way that was told me something about the person who wrote it, as well as the information involved.
Creative writing, things like that. College.
His mother, my wife, is a Swedish citizen. And she still is. She's in America. She's been here about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a no nonsense person. I often wonder, sometimes maybe I'm wrong, but she's an no-nonsense person. I'm a person who likes to delve into history. And I wonder if those two combinations didn't come and set in on that boy, to where he, you know, get the history, then get into the work routine.
Uh-huh.
His mother's works about working individual.
But the letter, as I say, just the form of it showed me a lot about it. Bill, is there anything that, you know, you've listened to all this, or anything that Keith should talk
just
about.
Just interviewing Rostow, isn't
it? Oh, no, this is exciting.
Just a little boy.
No, but that's not true.
Thanks, Dad.
Well, no, not even a very fine job.
No, that's
job,
not
so
true. It's just
very, very
as
fine,
exciting.
You know, just a, you know, very fine job. You know,
well, you only have one point of view toward him, Dad.
Yes, no, we've interviewed lots of people, and this is just equally as exciting.
Yeah. Now, let me talk about truly what...
He's 15.
Is there something
that
Keith,
15-year-old, who's Keith, interested?
That Keith might bring up, or, you know, for the sake of the tape, or anything that you'd like to add? Or, first of all, anything that Keith might speak to that I didn't ask him about, or I would know about to ask him?
I really can't think of it.
Okay.
Oh, remember that thing you told me about K-Sun that you heard in the news that one day? About that Marine Corps sergeant who was afraid he couldn't run because he was so old.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to tell him that.
Well, that's just a story.
Yeah, but it might be, it's a little interesting.
Why didn't you tell us?
He saw it, I don't remember exactly.
Well, maybe, I'm sure you're probably right. It was a little story, I mean, where I read it now, about the, when they used to reinforce K-San, they would come in by airplane, these large airplanes, And I was reading something somewhere, and it was as if this man was speaking as he was running. And he was an older soldier, older Marine, and the younger Marine was much faster. Maybe you're probably familiar with this story. But anyhow, while they were landing, they were under fire from the North Vietnamese. Anyhow, and the guy was saying, the older man was running. They were running for shelter, and he was saying he wished he was younger, like the fellow ahead of him, who was so fast. And just by the time that this happened, the poor young fellow ran into one of the rounds and was obliterated. And so, anyhow, went on to that he wasn't so fast, and it sort of saved his life. And anyhow, I read that it was, can't quite how it ended, but anyhow, the point was that he, I don't know where I'm getting at. The point was that the youngster himself got killed, whereas his age and slowness sort of saved him. But he was wishing all the time he was as fast as that young boy.
I thought it might be a little interesting.
I don't know if that's...
Well, did you see this on TV, or...?
I read it.
Okay,
where
was
I
print.
Read it, God, I read some of my stuff, I hardly... I don't.
Well, I'm not asking you for this. I'm just curious about
the
source.
No, I read
that.
Hey, can you excuse me for 1 minute?
Sure.
I got to go.
Yeah.
Just around the corner.
Okay.
Just,
yeah. I did too, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
said the mother is...
His mother's been, but she's coming around to it now. She's, she comes from a neutral country. And she's concerned that he is going to be able to once be a professional military man. And this concerns her a great deal. She thinks his talents be put more into maybe into the sciences, into this sort of thing, maybe the doctor, lawyer type of thing, as opposed to the professional soldier routine. But I think I've come around to convince you a little bit that as you look at his school grades and look at how he is about a 15-year-old boy, he's very much aware of what's going on around him all the time, where I think the average 15-year-old is more who has a batting average, and but this boy has feelings on the direction of the country, how people, maybe personalities and people. He's a delight to be with the dinner table. He just, I think that all this has made him a much better student, a much better person, because he tries very hard to. It takes a certain amount of discipline to do these things, which have to reflect themselves in other parts of his life as he matures.
Well, Keith, did we forget anything else?
No, I really don't think so.
Anything else you want to comment on? And Dad's going to get a picture of the three of us.
The three of us.
Now, here it is, right here. Make sure.